Welcome to Pap Talk, a podcast from Contemporary OBGYN, where we deliver expert insight, commentary, and more on emerging topics and trends to doctors in women's health.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My name is Morgan Petronelli with Contemporary OBGYN.
I'm Dr. Nash Mawad. I am the chair of the EMIG Steering Committee, and I'm a professor and division chief of MIGS at the University of Florida in Gainesville, Florida. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Absolutely. Pleasure having you with me today. So for those who might not know, could you briefly explain what the EMIGS program is and what are some of the key components that make up this program?
EMIGS stands for Essentials of Minimally Invasive Gynecologic Surgery. And what that means, it's a standardized program that was developed and it has three pillars or three components, if you will. It has a didactic component that concentrates on minimally invasive GYN surgery, laparoscopic, robotic, hysteroscopic surgery, and concepts and principles in general, electrosurgery, anatomy, positioning, complications, tools, strategies, and everything having to do with the essentials of MIGS. The second component and the third component are tests. One of them is a cognitive exam, which is a multiple choice exam standardized and scored according to standards we have set for our residents. And the third is a manual skills assessment that has five laparoscopic skills, and it covers suturing and eye-hand coordination, precision, vaginal cuff closure, and everything that we feel is essential as principles for laparoscopic surgery for our residents and trainees.
Awesome. And, you know, are there any significant benefits, or if there are any detriments for using this EMIGS program?
There are definitely a lot of benefits for using the EMIGS program. Number one, it's a standardized program developed by experts in the field, all educators, faculty, and reputable universities over several years. The AGL spent 9 years developing this. And we surveyed 300 gynecologists to find out what they think would be the essential components to include in the EMIGS program. And then we went developing the didactics, the questions for the cognitive exam, as well as the skills to be included in the manual skills. So for our trainees on our junior faculty to go through such a standardized program that has been very well-developed and validated, it's really good for them to practice the same skills over and over again, time themselves, try to do better every time, try to beat their own scores. And with that, they develop those basic skills and they can transfer those to the operating room with improved efficiency and safety for our patients.
So why create a program like EMIGS?
There has never been a standardized program for GYN surgery for training. It's more the old paradigm where, you know, see one, do one, teach one, which is obviously not the best for our patients, and it's pretty hard to learn and teach that way. So this was the concept behind all the efforts and all the resources that were devoted towards developing that program. It has been a very ambitious goal, and we have achieved it. And here we are, because you want to see what the residents are doing right and what they need improvements on before they're doing this on during surgery in the operating room, and try to help them and guide them to achieve those goals before they get to the OR.
So ABOG recently decided to use this test instead of the FLS test. So with that, what are some of the key differences between the two?
There are so many differences. The EMIGS is essentially made for GYN surgery by GYN surgeons and for GYN surgical trainees. So everything about it has to do with GYN. There is nothing that's extraneous, that's sort of like not a good use of their time. The resident time is very valuable and the duty hours are pretty limited. Only in 4 years, you have to learn so much. So it's really important to focus your time and attention on what's pertinent to your field. So some of the key differences are, number one, the didactics are all GYN related. There's nothing there that's not the bread and butter of what we do every day. So that's really a key component to that. The didactics are all video narrated. So it's really easy to follow, you know, on a busy day between cases. in the evening when you're on call, if you have a few minutes to catch here and there on a trip. So, and it's available in a mobile version. So it's really easy for the residents to watch all the videos and kind of learn that way. And you can watch them over and over again, focus in certain areas, rewind and go back to the area of interest. This is regarding the didactics. The cognitive exam, again, all the questions are GYN questions. And it's focused on improving efficiency and safety. And it's updated. So the group, the steering committee meets and the psychometricians are heavily involved in the design and teaching the faculty how to write questions, going over the questions multiple times to make sure they're pertinent, making sure they're evidence-based and they're up to date. And that process is, we keep repeating that process to make sure the questions are up to date. From the manual skills standpoint, a few advances were added to EMIGS over FLS. One of them is how we function in the pelvis. So all our operating is in the pelvic cavity. We don't operate on a flat surface. So we developed a proprietary, the group developed that several years ago, platform. It's called the LapraBall. And it's a pelvis-shaped platform that has side walls like the pelvis, has a front, has a back, just like the anterior and posterior cul-de-sacs. This way, when they're operating, they feel like they're operating in the pelvic environment. This is one thing. And the AGL, we will send a free LapraBall to every single residency program in the U.S. to start the program. They wouldn't have to incur the cost to start. They can order other items as needed if they have a bigger program, but they will get the first one as a donation from the AGL. Other advances and manual skills, we removed the endoloop because we don't use that very frequently in GYN surgery. We replaced that with vaginal cuff closure, which is essential. A simple hysterectomy, laparoscopic hysterectomy, robotic hysterectomy is essential for all GYN trainees to learn and perfect before they finish residency. And it's a good skill to practice even as junior attendings to go back and try to perfect it and do better in terms of precision and in terms of cutting down the time and being efficient. The standards for the manual skills have been set to fit the GYN resident late second year or early third year. So the faculty and the steering committee, as they went over different standards, what to score, what not to score, what weights to put in each skill and each item and the questions was always with the GYN resident in mind. So this is really important because we're not working with general surgery residents or urology residents. We're working with GYN residents and the questions and the skills are developed by GYN faculty.
No, and moreover, could you explain the significance of this switch from FLS to AMIGS? You know, how will this decision affect both providers and patients?
That's a great question. So obviously it would be the best use of the residents' time. So every second they spend on the program is towards learning a new skill that they will use every day. So nothing extraneous or not a good use of their time. And going through a standardized program and practicing and perfecting the task and beating your previous time and having a goal in mind will interpret into improved efficiency and safety for our patients in the operating room. And the skills are all GYN related and the questions are all GYN related. So this is what we do every day. So we'll take better care of our patients.
And my last question I have for you is, you know, what kind of reaction have you seen across the healthcare community when you guys implemented this program?
Overwhelming excitement and anticipation. Everybody's asking, when can we start? What do we need to do? So the environment and the community of GYN residents and CREOG directors and the American Board of OBGYN, everybody has been really excited about this, and I think they can't wait to start. And we're working really hard on the background to get everything ready for them, get all the equipment ready, ship everything to the programs, communicate with the programs and with the residents and with ABOG and with CREOG, involving all the stakeholders, working with psychometricians to update our questions, working with the Procter & Company to make sure everything is ready to go. The manual skills and the cognitive exam will be virtually proctored, so there's no need to travel anywhere. They can take it from their hospital, from their call room if needed, whichever a private space. And there'll be two cameras, one monitoring the room and one monitoring the laparable on the inside. Everything is recorded and uploaded to the cloud for the AHL to grade the exams and send the results. So it's has been very exciting and we can't wait to start. We plan to start January 1st, but the laparables should reach the programs soon within the month of October. This way the residents can start practicing and getting ready for taking the exam in January.
Well, that's awesome news. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. This is very exciting.
Thanks for listening to this episode of PAP Talk. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.